Palm Sunday today. Palm Sunday, it's a day that, as Glenn referred to, is the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey colt, and the multitudes hailed him as king. I'd like to, let's just go there and turn real quick, because I'm going to bounce off this very thing. Of course, you guys kind of know a little bit of how I do things. I take a thought and enhance it to apply it to my, not just my life, but I think our life as followers of Jesus. And I think this is a really interesting, it's John chapter 12, starting in verse 12. That's where I'm just going to read that portion in John's rendition of it real quick. Is that right? Yeah, okay, here it is. It says, the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees, went out to meet him, and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, he sat on it. As it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Then it says his disciples didn't really know what was going on here until later. But I'm going to get into this idea and thought, because here this is a week before, really it's just, we call it Palm Sunday, so it's really a week before his resurrection. So a lot happens in that week, that time span, that frame of time. He meets with his disciples on a regular basis, or he gets into some serious discussions, has a prayer on the Mount of Gethsemane, and it's this fantastic prayer, which I taught on a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago. Gets into discussions about, he's warning his disciples about what's coming. Not warning, but letting them know what's going to come ahead of time. So much so, you guys remember there was a discussion that he has with Peter, and Peter gets this really bright idea to get into an argument with Jesus about the whole thing. No, that's not going to happen. How dare you? We'll never let that happen to you, Jesus. As he's telling him that he's going to be handed over and he's going to be crucified and all the things that's going to happen. But he always would finish it with it, and but I will rise, I will return, I'm not going to leave you. And so there's a lot that's going on here. I mean, this is an intense time in Jesus' earthly life. We get that, right? We understand that. Do you guys, who in here understands that this week is what we call, what do we call this week? Refer to it as? Okay, Passion Week. You guys hear that term? That's what he's referring to, this last week of Jesus' earthly life. It's called Passion Week. There's going to be shows on TV like crazy, and that means all TV stations are going to have shows, movies come out this time. It's fun to, enjoyable. When I say fun, I mean it in a really good way, that it's exciting. I don't know, it's exciting to me, and maybe not just to me. I think a lot of the world is enthralled with this week. We as Christians, we tout it as I don't want to even lighten it to this, but our Super Bowl week of Christianity. It is the week of weeks, because it's the week that we look mostly to Jesus' life and his teachings and the last words that he spoke. And I encourage you, I really strongly encourage you, get into the Word and find out and discover a lot of what Jesus had said and things that went on during that week. It's really easy to do. Just go through and how many of you know this guy called Google? You Google Passion Week and Passion Week and Bible verses about Passion Week, and it'll just boom, pop up, and it'll give you a whole bunch. You can do that. It's safe. I don't think you're going to get, your phone will get it, or your device will get in, encrypted or something. I think it's okay to do. And it's not, sacrilegious. It's okay to ask Google stuff. I know that a lot of pastors say, don't ask Google nothing, ask God everything. It's like, well, okay, but that's good, and I agree with that, but use Google to find out some things that you don't know. It's okay. Does that kind of give you permission to do that? Okay. But here's what I wanted to get into this discussion really fast, and I'm going to just get right into it, and I do have a page of notes, but as we look at this, we look at what happened here, and Jesus rode in as their king that they were hailing as conquering king, as a king that was coming to rescue them, right? And here's what I think the question that I'm going to get to is God good? Is God good? We say all the time, we say, and then I say all the time, yeah, we know the right answer, right? But isn't that answer mostly determined on what I consider to be good? Think about it for a second. At this moment, when we celebrate this thing called Palm Sunday, we look at it that way. We're not really celebrating it, but we're just looking at it, reflecting on it, is that we're reflecting on this thing called Palm Sunday because as all the people are hailing him as king, and so there's this perception and there's this thing that they're dealing with is that it's saying, God is good, finally, our rescuer is here. He is good, he's going to save us, he's going to redeem us from the tyrannous Roman government, and he's gonna get us out of this. God is good. What happens just a few days later? Yeah, they're shouting out, crucify him, because he's been labeled, he's been accused of being a fraud. What happened to good God? What happened to good God? Did he change? Did he change? Absolutely not. So when we say that God is good, I want us to be very intentional about understanding maybe what that actually is, because God is good in spite of where you think his goodness is pointing you to, or what it looks like in your life, or maybe even what I want it to be in my life. God is good as long as I'm getting my bills paid, as long as my wife is not mad at me, as long as my kids are obeying me, as long as, you know, blah, 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 then God is good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to zero in on something, and it's a promise that God still holds very true, and it's very tangible for us today, because I believe in the midst of this promise is where we find the trueness, the truth of the very truth of the truth that God is good, and it doesn't depend on me. And it doesn't depend on you. It doesn't depend on circumstances. It doesn't even depend on who gets voted into next presidency. Woo! Shocker. But it really, God is still good. Is still good. So go with me real quick for a couple of scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 31. This is good. Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'm going to jump into verse 6. Verse 6 of Deuteronomy 31. This is as Moses is speaking to the people at the end of his life, and he says this. Says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God. This is as he's directing the people. He's giving them his last instructions as he is at the end of his days. He's 120 years old. And he's saying, okay, now you're getting ready to cross over into the promised land, but here's what I'm going to tell you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Awesome. Verse 7, it says, then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. So what is the promise? What is the promise that I believe stands and holds true for us to where if we hold on to this promise, we can say God is good all the time and genuinely, authentically know what that means. He's always with us and he will never leave us nor forsake us. Even through, listen to this, and this is this verse 7, I needed to read that, I could have just got away with verse 6, but I wanted us to see verse 7 because as Moses is telling Joshua, he's saying that you are going to go into this land and that God is giving you. Be strong and have good courage. But also the aspect that he's talking about that you need to have strength and courage in the Lord. And it is not just from the enemy that is without, that it, the enemy that's outside the camp, the enemy that you are going into their land and you're going to now take their land. That is an enemy that I am setting up, but I am going to deliver them into your hands. You follow me, trust me, and do what I say, I will deliver them into your hands. So the enemy that is a real enemy, that is one that you must say that God is still good. I am with you in that. But there's also another aspect to this that is in there, and it's kind of woven in there, is that you will also be in charge of dividing the land amongst your people. So there's an enemy without that he's saying, that I will be with you. Be strong and of good courage. But also there's going to be strength and courage in dealing with your own. Strength and courage in dealing with your own. How many of you guys know that's a very real issue, right? There's an enemy without, and then there's issues from within. Not just within myself, even within this body of Christ, even with our families, even with our friends, our peers. It seems like it's like there's this struggle sometimes to walk with God, trust God, go with God, not just from without, not just from the big bad world that's out there, but even from within. And he's saying, I will give you strength and courage on all aspects, for that which you deal with from the outside, even that which you deal with in your own self. Hello and amen to that, right? Be strong and have good courage, and because I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Because isn't that really sometimes one of the hardest things to deal with is the loneliness of my own self and my own thoughts, my own issues, my own insecurities, to where that's where I find myself, you know, even sometimes doubting, questioning, what am I doing? What is this all about? What's going on here? Why am I struggling with this so heavily? And even to where I feel like, God, where are you? Shouldn't this be easy? Shouldn't it just be like all mapped out and, you know, I've said yes to you, Jesus, and I gave you my life and now I'm a Christian. Shouldn't it just like flow easily? And there's still this battle from within. And if we're not careful, we'll get frustrated, discouraged, dismayed, out of focus. And he's saying, nah, set your heart, your mind, and your eyes on me. Be strong and of good courage, for I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's good news. Amen? Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Good. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to jump really quick into the New Testament here because it's kind of fun to... Now let's look at what Jesus said. Matthew 28:20. I'm going to jump right there, and then I'm going to go to another passage of Scripture in John 14. Matthew 28:20. This is Jesus' words. There is something that I want us to... pay attention real quick, if you will. When God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is encouraging you to have strength and courage and reminding you of his promises, it's always, always, always right before or in the midst of something that's difficult, a trial, a challenge, a battle that you're facing. Amen? It's just a little side note, if you will. Just note that. If you're feeling like, oh man, I need some strength and courage today, it's probably because God is looking out for you and he knows what's ahead. He knows what's coming. Verse 18, starting in Matthew 28, says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So it's just a small task. Just go ahead, start building the body of Christ. Making disciples. Just go ahead. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's an encouragement. It's a promise from God. And I believe that that promise from Jesus holds right into the same promise that God has given the Israelites, that I am with you. I will never leave you. Right? We see that same theme, that same promise that he's giving us. So let's jump over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. A little green tab. I'm going to read a small portion of scripture here. It says, starting in verse 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Here's a word from, and it's a promise from Jesus. It's the same promise from God the Father, the same promise from God the Son, and now we have a promise from God the Spirit that says the very same thing. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So here's what I want us to do even today, is to get this as clear of an understanding to where there's not any confusion on the Trinity, on their purpose, on their goal in your life. Their intention for you is to be with you, to not leave you, to not leave you abandoned, to not leave you as orphans, to not leave you alone. Hello? You guys with me? You guys with me? You guys lost, I lost you for a second. Any commotion, I swear, squirrel, you guys are horrible. You guys are worse than me. Should we take a pause for a second? Yeah. You guys all right? Mark, are you taking Dale right now?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Thank you, brother. All right, let's pray over him. I didn't realize what was all going on over here, so get over here. Get up here. Get up here. And I think this is a word from the Lord right now. He's telling Dale, he's speaking to Dale, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hey?
You can do it. You know what? God doesn't put anything before you that he already, look at me, that he already hasn't prepared you for.
Amen.
You got this, man. You got it.
Yep.
Okay.
In Jesus, you have it.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes.
Well, I'd like you to, I'm going to ask you to pray over him. I know that that's what God wants to do right now.
Heavenly Father, we come before you first to honor and glorify you.
Yes, thank you.
To say,
Jesus,
we trust you, Lord, with your plan, your perfected plan. And as Dale walks in your spirit, that you be with him all the time, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
For you have sworn to never forsake us, to never leave us. That you will conquer and overcome, and that he will walk in your light, Lord. That you will raise these demons from him and relieve him from the pain and the agony and the spirit that just dwells among him. That you just be gone from him in the name of Jesus, and in your glory and your honor, the Holy Spirit fill him with glory to glorify you. To cleanse him of anything that's not of you, Lord. We praise these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Love all you guys.
We love you, brother. Yeah.
Give me a hug for
me. One last big hug. Ha ha ha. Oh, bless you, my friend. My friend, bless you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you don't know, he's going off to Teen Challenge. He's going to be there. Mark and a couple of guys are taking him to Monterey. Well, it's down in, I think it's down in Monterey is where they got it. Yeah, Teen Challenge. And they've got him ready to go. The Lord's got him. A sober teenager. And here's something that the Lord has convicted me of in some of the things that I've said. And I know there's still clamor back there. What's going on back here? What are you doing? Are you gathering your stuff? Oh, they're having a little powwow back there. All right. Well, that's all right.
What were you saying?
Yeah. Well, we're all. Are you? Okay, good. I said it about 4 or 5 times in the midst of praying for Dale. It was a prayer out loud and even a prayer within myself as I was praying for him. I kept saying this one thing, and the Lord stopped me like instantly of saying it. And said, you know, Lord, just hold him steady until he gets to Teen Challenge. And then I instantly was like, ah, really? Just because that's all he's going to need is just holding until he gets there and Teen Challenge is going to do the saving? No, he needs to be held up in prayer. He needs to be held steady. He needs to be held with the Lord. Amen. And it's going to be rough. So it, okay, as we see him here until then, but then really hold him as he gets through this because it's going to be rough for him. You know, God is just so good. No, really, God is good. No, I mean, really, God is good. Amen. And maybe that's what I just, even as we go through that this morning and discover God's real goodness. And I don't think I could even do it justice by talking about the goodness of God in the midst of just a 30 or 40 minute message. But I want us to understand that his goodness is based on who he is and not who we are, or what we do, how we perform, or, you know, him staying with us, him saying, my promises are with you and for you, are based on his promises, on his word. That's good, because he is good, and he's good for his word. Even if we stray, and if we reject, and if we walk away, he says, I am still with you. I am with you always. Lo, I am with you. In other words, I am not going to leave you or forsake you. Even if you turn your back on me, I'm not turning my back on you. I love you way too much. Amen. Bless you, brother. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's a good team on your side. Undefeated. Never lost yet. Hallelujah. And his promise is still true. His promise is still true. So what do we do with that? I'm just going to jump over, and I'm going to finish up. And you guys don't believe me, do you?
Nope. I don't
blame you. No, this wasn't. If I was going to do my favorite one, I'd be like a couple. Yeah, but let me look at. Here's what we do. Here's what we do. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. He says this. This ought to be the result of us knowing and understanding that God is with us. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. In other words, in being content with all things, with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, what he's saying in that very, very real, applicable word, bread of life is, you set your heart, you set your mind on me. Don't chase after anything that is not of me. Don't chase after anything. Be content with where I've got you. Be content with where I'm taking you, because I will never leave you or forsake you. That's good news. That's really good news. And here's something this is super good. You guys... I'm not even going to ask you. Do you want to go a little deeper?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to jump in and maybe into a deep end here? How many of you want to get into a deep end? Oh, and this is a good thing. This word from the Lord blew my mind this morning. You know, exploded. I walked outside this morning. As I was getting ready to go, and and lo and behold, there's this complete, perfect rainbow right in front of my house. I mean, no, I'm serious. Like, it was there for me. I'm sorry. You guys saw it, but it was all there for me. You guys are funny. Thanks for laughing. Yeah. So this, I mean, no, it's because as I walked out my front door, it's right there, right smack there. And I'm like, wow. And I'm thinking, at first I was like a little jealous for my neighbor across the street because I'm like, it's going right over his house. How cool is that? Of course, you know, we know it wasn't right over his house. It was just, and wherever you're standing, it was, but a perfect rainbow was there. And as I saw this perfect rainbow, I just was, at first I was like, whoa. It kind of, I was stunned a little bit. It did. It really stunned me. Like, it stopped me in my tracks. I stopped right in the driveway. It's like, wow. And it's like, wow. And I know that there's things like that, that God has got those things are real and they're very true to me. When God says, that's my promise to you, that's something that I'm saying, I will not destroy the world, the earth again with water. And that's his promise. And I'm looking around, and there wasn't a raindrop in the sky. And I'm like, here's my process, and I'm processing this. This is my promise. This is his promise, and I'm processing how that is working. I'm like, but it's not raining right now. It didn't rain yet, and there's a perfect rainbow right here. I'm like, okay, God, what's going on here? And, you know, this is, you know, it's kind of different. Maybe it's raining over there. And he stopped me in my thoughts. And this is what he said. I need you guys to really listen closely to this. He stopped me in my thoughts. And he says, you process my promises through your thoughts, through your circumstances. And that's they're not always right on. They're not always right on. And he said this word. I had to write it down. It says, you see how you process my promises through the circumstances. I didn't see rain. I didn't, you know, what's happening or what's not happening. And this is what he said to me. He said, this is how you process my promises, by what's happening or what's not happening through the circumstances. Do you see what he just said? No, do you hear that? And it stopped me because his promises don't change. His promises are true and they are yes and amen. He says, but you process them. You understand them through what's happening or not happening. He says, but, and this is the word. He said, I am perfect. I am not slack concerning my promises. I am not slow concerning my promises. And he said this, and I am very patient with you to come around to what my promises really mean. And I was like, whoa, that's what I did. I was like, okay, I'm going back in the house. I really did. I went back in the house and I came back out and it was still there. And I'm like, okay. And then this word said, and then this was a word that he said to me again. It says, stay the course. Stay the course. Stay the course with me. For I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, and I am not going to leave you as an orphan. Stay the course with me. My promises are not slow. I am not subject to time and space. I am not subject to circumstances, to the political environment, to the moral environment, to even how you think. I am perfect. I do not change, and my promises don't change. And that was a good news word. Man, that was a good word. Because that gave me encouragement. It gave me strength from within, a strength that I don't have within myself. And I got to tell you, none of you do. None of us do. We don't have a strength within ourselves to make it through this. So did that make me nervous? Because as I studied the word, as I studied my lesson today and this to what to bring today for today, and I said it as though it's like, wow, it's interesting that God seemed to give us this promise right before something was about to happen. Right before maybe a trial, a challenge was about to take place, he says, be strong and of good courage, for I will not leave you nor forsake you. He told his disciples that as he was getting ready to be nailed onto a cross and suffer ridicule and torment. Be strong, my friends. You are my friends now. Be strong. Know this is going to happen. But hold on to me. Hold on to the promises. Stay the course. Do not stray from the left or to the left or to the right, but stay center focused on me. I will not leave you as orphan. That's good news. Hallelujah for your glory. Yes. God's showing him, revealing all the same promises that, amen. And I believe that that's exactly what he's doing in the midst of people that are seeking the Lord, that he's giving us, he's uncovering, and that's what the word revelation means. It's an uncovering of who he is, and he's allowing us to see who he is and his love for us, his goodness for us. That's what he wants us to see. He wants us to see how good he is. He is not a condemning father that's looking to smite you. He is not. He is into you. He is into us. That he wants to bless us, fill us, encourage us. I love that. Here's my favorite. 2 Chronicles 16:9, and it's there, so ingrained in my mindset right now. That says, the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro. They're seeking in whom he can instill his strength into, whose heart is set on him, whose mind is set on him, whose path is directed in him, whose walk is in his direction. He's saying, I will instill my strength within those who have set themselves towards me. That's good news. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. And we're going to worship the Lord. Lift him up. Father God, we just thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. By your Spirit, you just grab us. Oh, I'm so grateful that it's about you. It's about you, Jesus. Even just as I think of these, it's all about you. Jesus, you've shown us the Father, and then because of you, you've been glorified, now you've given us your Spirit, the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Because that's the promise you gave, that you are in us, and you will not leave us nor forsake us. So we give you, Jesus, all the glory. And may you just reveal to us, uncover mysteries, and just enlighten us. Show us your goodness this week, your mercy, your love, your grace, your kindness. Draw us close to you through all things. Your promises stand true and do not falter. They are not slow, they are not slack. Even if we don't understand them. And then we thank you, Jesus, that you are patient with us, that you are kind to us, that you are merciful to us. And now may we exemplify that patience and kindness and mercy to all those we run across. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes. Yes.
The Lord wants us all to take on these purposes. We all know the Lord is my shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I walk through the valley, we talk about that. There could be valleys people here today are in or about to go into. I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that.
Amen.
And even though I walk through this valley, I will not fear because thou art with me.
Haha.
Say that like 5 times today. Right?
Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Amen. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Amen. Amen. Yes, thank you, Jesus.